In the midst of recent worldwide disasters, including a global burst of earthquakes and eruptions, we in Dona Ana County sit safe and serene, knowing we're in no danger, correct? In fact, under the shadow of the gorgeous Oregon mountain chain, we could be in for our own troubles. If the Pacific Ring of Fire really breaks wide open and affects other fault lines and volcanic zones. As reported before on KOBE, AM Las Cruces, the ring is an international phenomenon linking almost 30,000 miles of volcanoes, making it the greatest Vulcan hotbed in the world. And now suddenly it appears to be shifting and shaking alive across the Pacific. Recently, Japan had several earthquakes, and Ecuador, an even larger one, all within a few days. Now, within the last week, there have been 10 worldwide earthquakes of a magnitude of 6 on the Richter scale or higher. This activity brings many of even the most skeptical to wonder what is afoot in these areas, which, should they continue, will bring even more misery, chaos, and destruction. And add to that, an eruption of a volcano in Japan during one of these quakes. New Mexico is considered one of the most volcanic areas in America, boasting some of the youngest lava fields in the world. The Carrizozo lava field is a mere 5,000 years old, give or take 700 years, one of the youngest. And to drive by this epic basalt lava flow makes one feel they've stepped back into time. It is considered one of the top 10 most likely to re-erupt. Intriguingly, one source claims plumes are still seen leaving the area. What some who live in Dona Ana County are not aware of is our own volcanic origins of the mountains which sit above us serenely looking down. These gorgeous mountains are actually of volcanic origin or related to volcanic activity. Therefore, they can erupt again, and if they do, who knows the disaster which waits. Will the New Mexico field begin to smoke and shake and erupt? Will the organs burst into flames and fury? Chances are no, yet who knows, but at least the idea makes it seem a bit more dangerous and romantic around Las Cruces to be under the volcano, so to speak. Stay tuned, sports fans. It kind of reminds me of that very famous book, Under the Volcano, which was made into a movie. But anyway, all right, so I do have some news for you, but I want to get into today, maybe around the 6:30 hour, the idea that we are living in a volcanic zone and that there is at least some connection between earthquakes and volcanoes. Not that one necessarily causes the other, but what they do indicate is that there are things happening in the earth, the shifting of plates and such, and that more activity in earthquakes could mean more volcanic activity ultimately. But first, we've got some political stories, and of course, kind of get those out of the way, and some headlines. And let's see for your headlines. Colorado is going to go back to a voted election in 2020 after the controversy of Cruz's voterless victory. The RNC is warning about a victory for Trump after New York. Obama is now going to change the $5, the $10, and the $20 bill. So Obama's going to come in, and maybe he's got a black woman, Harriet Tubman, coming in on the 20, I guess. And maybe he'll put a transgendered or whoever his hero of the day is on these other bills. You know, it's his job to dream was to change America. It doesn't. I guess Obama thinks that America is like a toilet. He's just got to keep flushing out anything from the past. But Obama is going to go down as a person who didn't destroy America, but tried very hard to radically change it. He has inflicted a lot of damage, but he's not going to destroy us. We're stronger than that. And he's going to end up without a legacy other than just a bunch of very stupid, ill-advised, and very naive decisions. And people are going to look back at him as a sarcastic and uneducated person. That's my belief. 523-1450. I don't see, unless you buy into this theory that Obama's a messiah and he's come to augur in the future, and the future is socialism and political correctness and multiculturalism and everything. Unless you buy into that, I think the guy's a spectacular failure. And I don't know what he's going to do when he can't, by law, go around and dominate people and talk down to him and laugh in people's faces and shake his head and all the different things that he does to try to provoke people. Because there's nothing that I've seen that he's thought of or attempted to do that's worth anything. And I think the best thing that could happen is if somebody came in after him and just undid every single decision by him, like Obamacare, which I was just reading an article, the biggest health provider in the United States is pulling out of Obamacare because it can't afford it. So we're going to be faced very soon with the decision of whether the government should own and run healthcare or it should be given back to the free market. At some point, that decision's got to be made. 805-6180 to text in. I got the text machine right here in my old pocket. But I had a good show yesterday with Mark D'Antonio. And, you know, I had a clip of what was said between Walt and I. But, you know, I don't want to replay that. The statements that Walt made, which I don't know if he walked it back, but I think he said, you know, if you take umbrage or you disagree with this notion that you didn't storm out of the meeting that we had at the Sun News, but at least you left unhappy. And Mark said, yeah, I did leave unhappy. So I don't think there was really something that Walt had said that he really had to rescind. But anyway, it was a good radio, and Mark came on and he didn't, you know, necessarily address all of the stuff that was initially that was brought up by apparently by James Dickens at this meeting at the Sun News, but he did eventually come back after it and said it was cherry picked info, et cetera, that was used to defame him and his crew over there. So he's agreed tentatively to have a debate with Mr. Dickens, and which we can do at any time. We got to get some ground rules, which I do understand. You got to have some rules. Although I kind of like a free form debate myself, but you know, at some point you do have to have some rules. Okay, so here is some after reaction to with Trump and Trump. I think RNC, the Republican National Committee, is going to have to choke on Trump because it is way too late to switch horses in the middle of the stream, in my opinion. And if the RNC is going to do things that ensure that Hillary Clinton gets into office, they need to switch businesses and get into some other undertaking, because I do not believe that it's possible that Donald Trump is worse than Hillary Clinton. She's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, other than Obama. And, you know, it's funny. Do you remember when Rush Limbaugh did Operation Chaos, whatever it was called, to make sure that Hillary didn't win so that Obama could come in? And Obama's been worse than Clinton because Obama had no experience. And instead of showing a little bit of humility, acted like he knew everything, even on stuff that he clearly didn't even conceptually understand, would go in and pretend he knew stuff and you know, let other people behind the scenes make decisions and just take over huge swaths of the process of running and the government and putting bills together. I mean, this country is going to take a century to recover from some of the crap that Obama has pulled. But at least if we can illegals from coming in the border, if we can stop this idea that illegal people have more right to be here than we do, we will have at least started to push back. Here's a little bit from Trump after winning the primary. He goes after the RNC.
USA, 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 USA. not have much of a race anymore, based on what I'm seeing on television. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. People aren't going to stand for it. It's a crooked system. It's a system that's rigged. And we're going to go back to the old way. It's called you vote and you win. We're going to go into the convention, I think, as the winner. But nobody can take an election away with the way they're doing it in the Republican Party.
I don't know why they keep dropping music behind these clips. But, all right, here is from Ted Cruz's dad. Now, Cruz has admitted he doesn't have a path to 1,237 votes. So here's his dad. His dad, Ted Cruz's dad, this Dominion theologian. I wish I could have talked to people who knew Cruz and his people and Glenn Beck and all this, because I would have wanted to find out if they prophesied a victory or if they just said God wanted him to win, because in my mind, that would be a huge difference. Because in the Bible, which Glenn Beck, in my opinion, pretends to represent, but really doesn't know, or he doesn't believe in the whole thing. If you're a prophet, you never make a mistake. That's the standard in the Bible. All right, check this out. Here's Ted Cruz's dad.
The audience loves having this gentleman on, Rafael Cruz, father of Senator Ted Cruz. Mr. Cruz, let me ask you, as your son, as this campaign is now pivoted up to more of the big industrial Northeast states, a little bit out of the evangelical, hotbed of the South and Texas, how do you think the campaign's going?
Well, the campaign is going very, very well, Steve. We are seeing more and more grassroots Tea Parties, constitutional conservatives, Quales, and even in the Northeast. We have pockets of conservatives, even in liberal New York. And Orthodox Jewish people are very, very much behind Senator Cruz. And I think we will do very well. Obviously, this is Trump's stronghold. But, after that, we have Indiana. We feel very good about Indiana. And we feel very good about California.
What is this guy talking about that he feels good about this? His son is eliminated, mathematically eliminated. What does he feel good about? I mean, these guys are trying to broker a convention. I understand that, but they don't need any more votes than they have right now. And I don't know. I just I take issue with this idea. Is my son has been called by God to become the nominee, and therefore we're going to do whatever we want. All right, let's take a little break here. I got to get back on this clip here. Fleetwood Mac landslide. Kelly O'Connell, 619 win in honor of earthquakes and land disruptions. It is the 21st of April. We're going to get into a little bit of investigation as to what kind of a place we're living in here when it comes to earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff. We'll be right back on the Kelly O'Connell Show. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180.
To the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky.
All right, so you've got a situation now with Glenn Beck. We have a situation with Donald Trump getting to pretty close to the nomination right now, but there's a couple of problems that I'm sure that everybody who listens to this show regularly understands, is that there's a difference between being close and having the votes. And so it is possible. Here's the thing. If you listen to, and I think the person to listen to on this is Paul Manafort, whose name actually means strong hand, you know. He's of Italian origin, and he's supposed to be one of the top vote collectors in the United States. He's a lawyer. He has a lot of knowledge about the law on, but also a strategy for gathering up your delegates. And so, in addition to him coming in and taking charge of that, he's taken charge of the whole campaign. So now we've got a transition between the amateur campaign run by a rich guy as almost seemingly as a hobby, not a lot of spending going into it, to now we have a professional cast of campaign workers coming in, and Paul Manafort is a real player, you know, that's all you can say. And he's come in and he's brought in some professionalism. So Corey Lewandowski, who I think is probably a strong guy, but he's still an amateur compared to Paul Manafort. He's been set aside, and now they're going about collecting. But, you know, there's a new professionalism that's come over the campaign. You're not going to see Trump going after people like he did before, because he simply cannot afford to alienate any more people. Now, here's Steve Kornacki of MSNBC talking about next Tuesday's super election night and how Trump could get 100, maybe even 120 votes or delegates. Check this out.
118 could be the next big step Donald Trump take, pretty much the next big step he has to take. It is the number of delegates that will be at stake in these primaries next week, the next big round of contests next Tuesday, 5 of them in the Mid-Atlantic and in New England. We talked in New York. Donald Trump was favored to win all along. The question was, how big? He probably got the big win he needed last night. It looks like he's going to get around 90 of the 95, almost all of them. Well, guess what? He has a chance to do the same thing here next week, to get almost all of these delegates. We're going to take you through it with reporters from these states in just a minute, but to set it up, if you win everything in Pennsylvania, if you win the state, you get those 17. The other 54, we just talked about this with they're unbound. It's a little more complicated. So for next Tuesday, 17, you can actually get in that primary. Maryland, you win the state, you get 14, and then for every congressional district you win, you get 3. There's a chance for Trump to pick up the lion's share. Delaware, that's winner take all. Win the state, get them all. Connecticut, if you hit 50%, you get all 28 of those. Donald Trump at 48% in a new poll there today. Rhode Island, a proportional state, tougher to win them all. But the bottom line, the target for Trump next week, of those 118 that are going to be up for grabs, if he could get 100 or more, he's hitting his number next week. We talk about the road to 1237. You got to hit your benchmarks. He did it last night in New York. Next week, that's probably the benchmark he wants to hit. He wants to be very close to or over on a really good night, 100.
All right, so we're getting to the point where it's going to be decided whether, number one, there's a couple of decisions that are coming up for the RNC, Republican National Committee. No, the first one is if they're going to fight to the death over Trump, and it would be the stupidest thing in history for them to do it, because you would disenfranchise all the new Republicans and voters, number one. Number two, you would set into play a destructive battle that would hurt not just Trump, but also would hurt Cruz. I mean, Kasich doesn't matter. He's a local figure in Ohio, but Cruz is a national senator. You know, he's a national player, and Paul Ryan is going to be involved in that. And it is just going to blow up in everybody's face. They have to decide that. And then they have to decide whether they're going to let him get in if he has 1,100 as opposed to 1,200. So it's all very interesting. a member of the RNC rule committee has already said if he gets to 1,100, he gets in. Here's a little bit from Steve Schmidt, been a critic of he's an MSNBC commenter, but he's saying Donald Trump will be the nominee on first ballot. Check this out, because there are delegates. There's maybe up to 200 to 300 free floating delegates out there, and Paul Manafort is going to figure out how to get those.
You've been in California a good bit. Right now, Donald Trump's at 49% in the latest CBS poll. Do you think they're going to be doing both instead of just a shotgun approach? Are they going to do a more targeted rifle approach, the new Trump team? Or
he's augmented his team. He's brought people on who understand the process, who understand how to run the type of campaigns necessary to go into heavily Democratic districts in Los Angeles and San Francisco, or merge with the delegates like he did in Manhattan. And I think that when you look now at the math of this race and you look at the states ahead, you look at the winner-take-all states, Donald Trump is going to be the first ballot nominee of the Republican Party. He will clear the 1237 mark by at least 50 to 60 delegates by the time the votes are counted on June 7th in the state of California. And that presumes really Ted Cruz overperforming at a level that he hasn't been able to perform at right thus far in the campaign.
All right. So, I mean, it seems inevitable that Trump is going to get it. Either that or you're going to destroy the whole process and possibly destroy the opportunity for the RNC, the National Republicans, to have an effective machine to go after races in the future. I mean, that's all at stake. And I mean, people should get serious about this. Do you want the only national party to be the Democrats? I mean, it's absurd. Okay, 6:32, and we're going to come back. And we're going to listen to, or I'm going to deliver to you, a bunch of information from different angles on what's going on geologically and how it could affect us even here in Dona Ana County. We are in a volcanic hotbed, and people don't even know it. It's fascinating. 6:32, AM Las Cruces, 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180. I put a special show together for you in the midst of this ring of fire bursting into flames. We'll be right back.
And the child within my heart rises above. Can I sail through the changing ocean tide? Can I handle the seasons of my
. 6:36, and we've got for temperature outside 59 degrees. All right. So I was fascinated to find out after I had moved to the area, the volcanic origins of a lot of this stuff and fascination over the amazing mountain that we call Oregon, that when I was first driving from, I think the first time I came here, I went down to Alamogordo and then drove over, and you know, you're crossing the mountain and it looks like the spine of a dinosaur or something, with these spikes, you know, these amazing spikes that come up out of the mountain. One of the most beautiful mountains I've ever seen. And I started doing a little research. Where did it come from? How did it form that way? Well, over the years, I've done some research around here and done some traveling and found out that this is a very volcanic area. So, and by the way, this is this segment is dedicated to little Susie, who may be listening, probably is listening. But the thing that's going on is that it appears to me that it's possible that the Earth could be ramping up into a more active phase in terms of earthquakes and volcanoes. You might say, well, there's, you know, earthquakes not the same as a volcano. When Yeah, that's true. But if you have activity going on inside of the Earth, there's something that is provoking it. And the same type of thing that could, which is, you know, we believe it's tectonic plates. The Earth is like an egg, like a hard-boiled egg. If you drop it and there's cracks, and it's still together, but there are pieces, you know, that are distinct pieces. and these pieces are kind of pressing against one another at the edges, and over vast periods of time and vast areas, it's an enormous amount of heat and energy that's created, which helps create the earthquakes. And then the volcanic activity happening underneath, they can be related. So anyway, I want you, you realize that there have been like 10 world earthquakes over 6.0 in the last week. I went and looked on a site and looked it up and did a search and found that out. All right, here's a guy reporting from the Israeli News Live, the apparent connection between the Japanese volcano and the earthquakes. Check this out.
Boker Tov Chavrim, I'm Stephen Ben-Nun, and this is Israeli News Live. We do have breaking news coming out of Japan after there has already been two major earthquakes there that have struck southern Japan. Now another tragedy is starting to strike the country as Mount Aso volcano erupts following the violent earthquake strike streak in Japan, is what they're reporting here. This here, as you can see in the photo there on your screen, the ash is everywhere. It is boiling over, and just a very serious situation for the Japanese people there. My wife stated this morning, is very interesting the way she had put it there. She said, you know, it's just these people have suffered so much already, and
hey,
to
it's
see
Kelly.
That this is happening as well.
It's Kelly, who's this?
Very, very disturbing.
Let me put you on hold for hold on just a second.
This is Japanese television here. Showing the smoke rising over the mountain.
All right, so we have a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Bob.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just want to let you know that I listened to the District Attorney Hour yesterday, and I was just disappointed because I didn't hear him say anything. He just rambled for an hour, and that's all he did.
Well, Bob, what would you have liked to have heard him say?
I would like to have heard him say something about what he did as a district attorney and why they're losing so many cases or why they're doing this. Something to do with his job and not just whatever he said yesterday. I was very disappointed in it.
Well, I'm going to do what I can to get him and James Dickens on here to debate. And, but, you know, the next time that the district attorney comes on, why don't you call in?
Well, yesterday I wouldn't run the phone, but I will the next time. This other guy, is he running as a Democrat or Republican?
He's a Democrat, although the Democratic Party has said that he's pretty conservative.
Well, if he's going to be in the primary, it's fine. If he's going to be in the general, it's another story. But because I vote in the Democratic primary, because there's nobody running against each other in the Republican Party.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good day. Thanks for the call. all right, so I wanted to mention now, what are the chances that the volcano that goes off is named Aso? You know, doesn't that mean yes or hello or something? Anyway, so quakes disable devices to check volcanic activity on Mount Aso. All right, so what I'm looking at is a picture of Kyoto University's Aso Volcanological Laboratory in Minami, Aso, Kumamoto Prefecture. And so what happened is there was an earthquake. You know, we had this earthquake in Japan that was like 6.0, and then the follow-up was bigger, 7.0. Now, Japan is very, very volcanic, and Mount Fuji is volcanic origin. And so it's on the Ring of Fire. Japan is in the Ring of Fire. So when they have earthquakes, when they have eruptions, it's no surprise. But what I found interesting is I'm looking at this picture from a helicopter or a drone of this volcanological laboratory, and the ground is split up around it. So it appears to me that the volcano had been affected by the earthquake. And then I have to think as the earthquake is moving the ground around, it's making this eruption come up. So, and I don't claim to have special expertise. I'm kind of self-educated on this front to the extent that I am, but I want to just bring up this idea that the earth is moving. It's getting more active. Now here's a little bit from Alex Jones, Biblical Times, top scientist, speculating, are we moving into a time that some people might claim it's apocalyptic or other, you know, whatever you believe, the part that you know, that you think God does or doesn't play or doesn't exist, that we could be moving into an epic area or time of eruptions and earthquakes. And, you know, as they talk about in the various books in the Bible, that the end time signs. I'll play this for you in a second, and I'll play first a little bit of weather for you. We'll be right back. 6:44, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 523, 1450, on 1450 KOBE. And I'm going to end up working my way down to the scale down to local, and I'm going to tell you about the origins of the Oregon Mountains. And also, Carrizozo has a lava field, which is one of the newest in the entire world. And it's a very long one. It's very big. We'll be right back to talk about these things.
I don't know.
It's 6:47. It's 59 degrees. I covered a lot of ground studying for this last night, but as always, all of these shows, I mean, you never use all your material, but it's good to have something to go in one direction or another if you need it. By the way, Bob made a great call. Those are the kind of calls that are valuable to me, I think, and especially if Mark was on the air when that call came in, put him on the spot. We need to put these officials on the spot. Yes, Mark is a nice guy, but he's a public official, and, you know, he ran for office. He got into office. He's, as he said, the number one law enforcement officer in the county. We need to hold people accountable. We need to hold Kiki accountable. We need to hold Billy Golden Earring Garrett and his hand puppet, or pardon me, not hand puppet, but his Hancock responsible. But, you know, how are we going to have a good county? How is this county ever going to grow economically if we have all of these mini Obamas trying to run everything and say and claim that no growth is the way to the future? No growth is getting a little choked up here. No growth is the direction of extinction. You understand that, right? That's socialism for you. No growth. All right. Here's a little clip just to set the table. Biblical times here. Is that what we're going through? Check this out. And this is Alex Jones, who always has a lot of interesting stuff on his channel.
Our Earth, however it was created, however old it is.
And by the way, this is from the 20th. Of April 2016, just a few days ago. Well, it's actually yesterday, So it's pretty current.
Don't go with a lot of the mainline Christian interpretations that are men's interpretations of the Bible, that the earth is 6,000 years old. I don't go with mainline science that it's 4 or 5 billion years old and, you know, we only get hit by asteroids every 2 million years, because now they admit, because of Shoemaker-Levy research, what happened with that comet, that no, it's happening every 100,000 or so. And satellites show us giant craters all over the world that have just been filled in with water or filled in with trees, filled in with foliage. I don't know all the mysteries of the universe, but I know this. The ring of fire from the Pacific Ocean all the way around from Asia to the tip of Chile has triggered everywhere in the last decade but key plates off California and in California. And I've been listening to this fella on Coast to Coast AM for, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years. I've read some of his work. He's really... We've had volcanologists on, we've had seismologists on, and they're all getting government funding. So they're very careful about what they say. But basically, everything I hear them saying now, I heard 5 years ago from Stan Dea. And if you go to the last interview we did, in fact, what was the name of it? Can somebody search YouTube and find it, or search our database and find the date and find it on YouTube? And I think we have the headlines on our computer in there. He was on about, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's on intermittently. We should have him on more. He said specifically, watch 2016, watch what's going to unfold. And the fact that it's so overdue in California that we're going to see just one of the biggest quakes ever there. And it could bring our economy into tailspin. He also talked about Yellowstone a decade ago and how it's rising and falling. Basically, everything he said, and quite frankly, even though he's well-spoken and a great guy and has a curriculum vitae, I would just roll my eyes and say, okay, yeah. Because I don't get into the whole earth changes thing, because you kind of think of this happens to somebody else. This happened to the Romans in Pompeii, or it happened in the Pacific in Krakatoa 100 years ago.
I just want to do a little interruption here. I want to get some ads out of the way and come back and continue on with this. But I look back into Vesuvius and Pompeii and Herculaneum. These are two cities that are outside of the Vesuvius. Vesuvius was thought to be an extinct, they didn't even think of it as a volcano. It hadn't erupted within the memory of any of the residents in Italy, or the historians didn't have it down. And when it erupted, it took out two cities. And the cities were, They were like Miami or something. They were places that people went to hang out. They were on, you know, beautiful part of the country, and they were kind of, places that people would go to maybe get in a little bit of trouble, but kind of like Vegas maybe. And then they're wiped out, and we have a record of them. So, it can happen. If we've got a list for you for the 10 most likely areas to erupt in the United States. And I think at least three of them are listed as being in New Mexico. We have an extraordinary amount of volcanic activity. If you go to Carrizozo, if you drive down past that lava field, you will be astounded at how it looks brand new. It's really interesting. All right, so we'll take a break here and then come back and pick up on this kind of apocalyptic theme that Alex Jones and Earth Destruction that he's talking about. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180. All right, I've got here the top 10 volcanoes or volcanic fields currently on watch in the Southwest: Black Rock Desert Volcanic Field, Utah; Carrizozo Volcanic Field, New Mexico, number 2; Dotsero Volcano, Colorado; Markagunt Plateau Volcanic Field, Utah; San Francisco Volcanic Field in Arizona, Santa Clara Volcano, Utah, Steamboat Springs, Nevada. Understand Steamboat Springs, I believe, is, if I'm not mistaken, Colorado. Anyway, Uinkaret Volcanic Field, Arizona, Valle Caldera, New Mexico, and Zuni Bandera Volcanic Field, New Mexico. Now, interestingly enough, I've got a little clip here for you. This is from 2 years ago. Listen to this.
The southern half of New Mexico got a Saturday shakeup at around 11 last night. The USGS says a 5.2 magnitude earthquake was the culprit. It was centered just across the Arizona-New Mexico border, about 30 miles northwest of Lordsburg. People felt it as far east as Roswell. New Mexico hasn't had a 5.0 or greater hit the state in almost a decade.
All right, so the claim is that the earth is hotting up, as they say in the UK, or heating up. It's moving, it's shaking, and that we may have on our hands increasing levels of volcanic activity and earthquakes. That's the claim of an expert. I'm going to have this guy's clip and a little bit of Alex Jones in the next hour. And for some people, this will be a confirmation of their sense that the apocalypse is coming, the end of the age, wars and rumors of wars, volcanoes, or pardon me, earthquakes is another thing that's listed in there, a global conflict, and the earth itself is becoming more unwound or more erratic and more hostile to humans, I guess. And so we'll come back and talk about that. I want to tell you a little bit about the volcanic activity, the history in New Mexico and also in Carrizozo and right here in Dona Ana County, the volcanic origins of the Organs. 659. And we got a call here. Thanks for the call. We just have a few seconds. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Toby.
Just briefly.
Yeah, Steamboat Springs, just for clarification, is about 5 miles due south of Reno. It's between Reno and Carson City.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very active geological area.
Fantastic. Hey, can you call back next hour and fill us in on a little more?
I wish I could, but I'm going to be at work.
Okay, thanks for the call, Toby. Have a great day. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we'll take you out here with Landslide, and we'll come back and dive back into this puppy. Be right back. AM Las Cruces. Thank you.
don't give a.
All right, I'm going to get into this clip from Glenn Beck, this guy talking about this future of these future giant eruptions that are coming. And you recall that the gentleman that was kicked out of India had said that because he was fear-mongering over earthquakes, said that we've got possibly up to eight earthquakes coming that would be the size of 8.0 or larger, which is pretty massive. So just, and this is from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History, why New Mexico is the land of volcanoes. And it basically says other states are known for every other things. Arizona is the Big Canyon state, for example, but New Mexico is the volcano state. And it has one of the greatest concentrations of young, well-exposed and unerroded volcanoes on the continent. And all right, so let's get to this. And I've got a long clip from which I will play some of from you for you, New Mexico PBS, on sleeping monsters, sacred fires, volcanoes of New Mexico. So I got a lot of information. So buckle up, this is going to be interesting. And this is Glenn Beck talking about top scientist connecting volcanoes, earthquakes, and the possibility of biblical style, Glenn Beck likes to say, biblical style apocalyptic activity from the ground.
Volcanic expert, super eruption coming. And now you see what they're calling unprecedented eruptions, unprecedented geological activity, tectonic activity. Now the sun's cooled off. That affects our climate. Is that doing it? Is it the magnetic field? He's the expert because he looks at all the studies, the full spectrum. So many experts at the university level just write their own little papers in their one little area and don't do the general research. Ecuador earthquake, death toll rises to 350. Channel 9, first alert. Coda supervolcano under Yellowstone National Park erupts soon. Aspen quakes halt Sony's senior plant, may impact iPhone production. Ecuador quake, survivors tell harrowing tales. The shaking continues. The most dangerous volcano in Mexico has erupted in spectacular fashion. I've got headlines that there's record volcanic activity. Should Northwest residents be worried about this week's back-to-back earthquakes? We're seeing record earthquakes since they started recording them accurately with seismographs over 100 years ago. Sharp shock hits Ecuador. It goes on and on. That's just some of the news. You've seen it everywhere. So finally, the mainstream media is paying attention. I hope that we've seen the worst of it. But the point is, we're floating around on crust that is on top of molten magma on a huge planetoid going 30-something thousand miles an hour through space. So when they say man-made climate change will arrest you if you disagree with it, of course there's climate change. It's always happening. Now they're saying the world has to stay the same or humans did it. So much ties into this. He's with us for the rest of the hour, 5 minutes to the next hour, standeo.com, and going over his bio. He held an above-top secret security clearance and worked undercover for the FBI. He was part of an exclusive black project specializing in the development.
Well, let's fast forward up to talking to this guy. And the
engineering, biblical studies, and earthquake forecasting. And I'm not going to go over all the things that he's breaking down, but we're going to get into earthquakes with him right now. Pretty wild stuff. Stan Deo, great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me again, Alex. There's certainly a lot happening to talk about.
Well, everything you said over a year ago here, I thought it was 6 months ago, is basically now happening. Tell us what's happening from your research. What's coming next? Because obviously the government and people are going to play this now.
Well, there are probably good reasons for that. Not that I side with the Illuminists. they have their own agenda. But the scientific community is hamstrung. And if they weren't, they have the fear of causing a panic if they predict an earthquake or a volcano and it doesn't happen. And so they're put in between a rock and a hard place to tell the public. And now then, of course, they've got a White House muzzle on them, so they can't say anything. I have gotten information out that is not mainstream or is not even on the Internet from a couple of individuals who are involved inside USGS. And they have said that they've been making drivers, truck drivers and technicians that are delivering stuff to USGS at Yellowstone have been for the last 2 years. To not tell anybody about it and the number of seismometers that they're putting in and the fact that they're connected to a supercomputer. I think they've moved it from Texas now then to Utah to the new center. But there's a lot of effort being pointed at Yellowstone. And you can see the evidence of it in a lot of the video coming out of there that they're allowing to come out. And also last month, toward the end of the month, they closed down the whole network of seismometers updating and changing and whatever, but we got no feeds at that time from them.
All right. So let's, I'm not finding this boring, but I want to make sure that I'm going to cue it up to the juiciest parts. Let me get into, we're talking about earthquakes and volcanoes, a possible connection between them, volcanic eruptions. And here's a little bit more information from Southwest Volcano Threat Overlooked. I read to you the 10 most likely eruptions. Three of which are listed in New Mexico. Now listen to this. More than 1,400 volcanoes dot the southwestern United States. At least three erupted in the past 1,000 years. And compared to Alaska or Hawaii, the states of Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, and Utah look at low risk of eruption. So, you shouldn't be on the edge of your seat. On the other hand, there is a lot of stuff going on right now that makes me suspect that there could be rumblings under our own feet, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good, Takashi. How you doing?
Another wonderful day, sir. And you?
Yeah, pretty good. What's on your mind?
I was just going to recollect that the prophecy of the coming of the Savior said the next time he's supposed to return, supposedly it's going to be fire and brimstone, not a flood. So maybe that's just like the preemptive science of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the claims from biblicists and Christians, Jews, and everything, is that we could be tapping into these end times prophecies with, I mean, it's just suddenly we've got earthquakes happening around the Ring of Fire, Japan, and then all the way across the ocean in Ecuador.
Yeah, you know, and a lot more other stuff that's not being reported on the news.
Such as
environmental,
such as
anomalies,
such as.
I mean, millions of dead fish washing up. You know, lack of oxygen in the ocean. I mean, they can't explain why all these sea creatures are dying. You know, you would think they went to the moon, it would be easy for them to figure this kind of stuff out. But apparently they didn't take any time to figure out how the planet works somehow. So, you know, birds, you know, thousands of birds dead, you know, just really abnormal stuff, Kelly.
Could be the apocalypse coming, according to you.
Get your house in order, Kelly. Get your spiritual house in order, brother.
Stop paying your mortgage. It's the end of the earth.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
All right, Tekashi, thanks for the call, and have a good day.
You too, man.
Thanks. All right, so we had read this the other day, the things in the Bible that it talks about. I think Matthew 24 or something like that. Wars, rumors of wars. All right, so here is just a little clip. Matthew 24:7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. So at least we've got the earthquakes in various places. Let's take a little break here and come back. And I'm going to read you about, I'm going to see if I can get into a little bit more of the supposed apocalyptic aspect of this thing from Alex Jones, but little Elvis here for you. And I'm going to start feeding you some more information about New Mexico volcanoes. And even in this area, it's very interesting. Volcanic area here down in El Paso or Zozo, I mean, all across the state, massive volcanic formations. We'll be right back to discuss that on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOB. Kelly O'Connell 523 1450 and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back.
Well, get out of that bed, wash your face and hands. Well, get in that kitchen, make some noise with the pots and pans. I'm a leader to my soul, you're the devil in nylon hose. I'm a leader to my soul, you're the devil in nylon.
All right. So in looking at the state, there's a Grants flow east of Grants, New Mexico, which is the youngest in the state. It's called the McCarty's flow, and it's dated around 3,800 years ago, which is just a blink of an eye for the geological record. And then the Carrizozo Malpais, that if you've never seen it, you've got to drive over there. It's just an amazing field or whatever they call dried out lava, I'm trying to remember. But all right, here is a little bit more from this top scientist who claims that we're entering into a new age. And then I've got a little bit on New Mexico volcanoes. 721 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text.
Well,
Yellowstone is only one part of our problem. There are other volcanoes around the planet that are starting to erupt. Even North Korea has asked us, the United States, for help with one that's about to erupt there, a big one. And the earthquakes, well, now, you know, in the last, 7, 8 days, we've seen a number of earthquakes. I'm just looking at it here on my map, which I sent to your producer. You can put it up. It shows the earthquakes over the last 2 weeks that are above a Richter 5.5. And you can see in that on the western side of the Pacific, the second row right image, if you want to click on that there, that's the one. Yeah, click on that. There you go. Now, the size of the circle indicates the magnitude. And over Japan, which is right over here on the left side of the Ring of Fire, you can see that they had not only a 6.3, but a 7.2 and a bunch of aftershocks in that area. And over in Ecuador, you can see they had a series of 7.9, a bunch of aftershocks. And in Guatemala, near Central America there, and over off the coast of Australia, up in Vanuatu.
All around the Ring of Fire, but North America didn't get hit.
Now that's the issue. I heard you talking about that before we went to the break. the problem with this is that it's not only California, it's the whole West Coast that hasn't released. And we know that up near Oregon and Washington, in the Juan de Fuca plate, that little kind of reddish area outlined there.
Stay there. Stand over. Coming right back to you. You'll have the floor to break this down. If you're a radio listener, Infowars.com/show.
All right. So the claim is that we're gearing up towards a big earthquake up in California, Washington, Oregon. All right. Here's a little bit from Colores, Sleeping Monsters, Sacred Fires, Volcanoes in New Mexico, New Mexico PBS. Very interesting. I learned a lot from listening to this. And we'll check part of this out right now.
Thanksgiving parade. Look in practically any direction, and you'll see the results of eons of geologic decorating, craters, cinder cones, lava flows, and mountains that have blown their tops. Take the asphalt less traveled, and instead of the usual roadside attractions and rattlesnake museums, you might find yourself on what looks like an abandoned set of the Lord of the Rings. Look more closely, and the volcanic terrain reveals stories of creation. Homes for ancient man and the history of other planets. But don't be fooled by our placid panoramas. Keep in mind, New Mexico's volcanoes are only hibernating, so a big question remains. When and where will they erupt again? Welcome to the Volcano State.
Sleeping Monsters, Sacred Fire is the introduction to this. We'll come right back and tap into this a little bit more. Kelly O'Connell, 725 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180. Call in if you have any special information or knowledge about the volcanoes in this area, and we'll be right back.
On what I want, fast of my money go. Well, I said shake, rattle, and roll. I said shake, rattle, and roll. I said shake, rattle, and roll. I said shake.
Thank you. All right. And this is, again, from NM Natural History. Here's just a few facts to consider. 20% of the U.S. national parks and monuments based on volcanic themes are in New Mexico, more than Arizona, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington combined. The type and largest young calderas or bowls in the world, Valle Caldera, is in New Mexico. Yellowstone is also a caldera, but less obvious. Two of the largest young basaltic lava flows in the world, Carrizozo and McCarty's, are in New Mexico. One of the greatest concentrations of young volcanic steam explosion craters, referred to as Mayars by geologists, occur here. Zuni Salt Lake Crater and Kilbourne Hole Crater are two Mars in New Mexico that are used in textbooks. And several of the largest concentrations of young cinder cones, such as Raton Clayton, Zuni Bandera, and Portillo Fields, are in New Mexico. The greatest concentration and best exposed example of young volcanic necks in the world are in New Mexico in the Rio Puerco Valley. The greatest diversity of young volcanic rock types and classic suites of volcanic rocks, such as Mount Taylor and Raton Clayton volcanic fields, are in Mexico. The Dátil Mogollón region of New Mexico is one of the largest concentrations of resurgent calderas, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, it is just so much going on here, and we're not even aware of it. Here's a little bit from this PBS special on New Mexico volcanoes and volcanic activity.
About 20 million years ago, the golden age of volcanism began when the crust beneath New Mexico started to stretch and pull apart along a north-south axis, forming what we know as the Rio Grande Rift, a geologic feature found in only a handful of places around the world. As the crust pulled apart, land in the middle sank, while the rift pushed up the crust on either side, creating several distinct mountain ranges, most notably the Sandias, and a wide valley that extends from southern Colorado to El Paso. The rift allowed magma to rise to the surface along its length, and volcanoes erupted like firecrackers. A few million years later, volcanoes again remodeled New Mexico's landscape along another weakness in the crust known as the Jemez Lineament. It was a series of eruptions running roughly northeast to southwest that sculpted some of our most famous volcanic features, from Zuni Salt Lake to Mount Taylor and Cabazon to Capulin. In fact, there are more than a dozen distinct volcanic fields within the state's borders, featuring well-preserved examples of every type of volcano known, and reminding us that geology is destiny.
One thing about volcanoes is that people are tremendously fascinated by them. And most geologic processes happen over hundreds, thousands, millions of years, whereas volcanoes happen fast. And most cultures in places where there are active volcanism have some kind of deity associated with the volcano. They make offerings to the volcano. And it's something that entrances people. And having been around active volcanoes, I can completely understand that, because they're so dynamic. They're almost like a living thing.
All right, so we'll take a little break here and come back. And I've got for you, well, there's a little bit from a New York Times article. I'll just mention it here. El Malpais, the Spanish for the Badlands, is the common name for the Zuni Bandera volcanic field, a petrified sea of buckled and bulging basalt that sprawls over 100,000 plus acres an hour west of Albuquerque. Five distinct lava flows lie beside and atop one another, in some places almost 500 feet thick. And the world's youngest lava flows, named McCarty's, 2,500 to 3,000 years ago, just yesterday, really. And they're talking about this big skylight cave that is part of this, and it's unbelievable. The picture is just defies description, but the article name is "Into a Lava Line to Underworld Near Albuquerque" from the New York Times, and that was from August 2014, if you want to look it up. We'll come back and dig down more into the New Mexico volcanic fields and talk about possible danger. We'll be right back at 7:34 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text.
Save your dog's own soul. Hey, rattle.
It's a little bit more from this clip from PBS on New Mexico volcanoes.
The reminder left at the intersection of the Rio Grande Rift and the Jemez Lineament won't soon be forgotten. That's where the Jemez Mountains form the most famous geography in the state and the cradle for our very own super volcano.
What makes the Valles Caldera so spectacular geologically and scenically is because they're formed in the top of a big mountain range. Mountain range made of the coalesced slopes and peaks of more than a dozen volcanoes. Volcanic history in the Jemez Mountains began long before the Valles Caldera formed. First eruptions occurred here more than 15 million years ago, and so much of what we see here behind us are the rocks that were produced by those earlier eruptions, lava flows, and layers of pumice and ash that accumulated on the landscape and built up the mountains before the Valles Caldera tore them down.
Fast forwarding to approximately 1.6 and 1.2 million years ago, the Valles Caldera was the epicenter of two massive volcanic eruptions that left deposits several hundred feet deep in the surrounding area. The most recent eruption emitted an astounding 300 cubic kilometers of molten rock and debris before collapsing into the vacated magma chamber, leaving a depression 12 miles wide that can be clearly seen from space.
Well, the type of eruptions that happened at the Valles Caldera are impossible to imagine. The ground probably shook for months. Earthquakes every day. There might have been smoking ground. But once the crack opened and the volcano really got going, it started with a blast, a huge, huge crack of thunder, magnified thousands or millions of times.
The initial blast sent out a shockwave so powerful it compressed air to the temperature of between 400 and 500 degrees, simultaneously leveling forests and incinerating trees. But that was just the beginning. Huge toxic steam clouds billowed from the volcano's mouth, skyrocketing some 30 miles into the stratosphere. Within minutes, chunks of pumice rained down. The column eventually collapsed under its own weight and crashed to Earth, sending superheated torrents of ash, steam, and gas racing across the countryside at supersonic speeds and forming the dramatic mesas of the Bandelier Tuff. Eruptions may have continued for weeks. Many of us remember the destruction wrought when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980. But scientists believe the eruptions of the Valles Caldera were up to 250 times more powerful. Amazingly, the Valles Caldera isn't even the largest caldera in the state. That title goes to a collection of calderas in southwestern New Mexico that are some of the biggest in the solar system. Debris carried aloft by the...
There is a caldera that is right here, right in this area. So let's take another break here, and I'll come back and get into a plume. They found a plume that came out of the Carrizozo Flow area, which is, as you know, just not that far away. So 741 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180. We're going to work our way to the Oregon Mountains.
I like white cat peeping in the seafood store. I like white cat peeping in the seafood store. When I can look at you, tell you ain't no child no more.
All right, so just kind of concluding the show here with basically information that is drawing closer and closer to where we're living right now, the idea that there are either active or recently dormant volcanic activity in this area. Now, here is from 3/24/2012, a guy by the name of Dutch Sense, a poster by that, who calls himself that, about the Carrizozo lava fields in New Mexico, not too far away.
To everybody on Facebook and on my YouTube page, to come over to College of DuPage and check out the 1 kilometer visible view of New Mexico. And what I want to draw your attention to is something that's erupting right west of a volcanic lavic area. And it's a clear plume of some kind coming out of the ground in the desert, no less. And I'm going to show this to you. I already went and looked on Google Earth to verify before I make the video, just to verify that first of all, that it's all dirt there and desert, that there could not be any kind of forest fire. Secondly, I verified that it is a volcanic cone right there. So let's just go ahead and look. Let me bring it forward one by one, right? And you see right before sunset, again, it really erupts off. Now, I guarantee you it'll be gone by sunrise. That's how all these plumes have happened, is they come up from near volcanic areas and then are gone by the morning. Okay, so that might explain why people don't see it. It's happening right at sunset. Okay, let's bring it forward one more time. You can clearly see it. If you don't, it's right here. Okay, and now look at the county line here, the stair step action that it does. So it's just west, okay, of the county line, but before you get to this dark spot. So I've got Google Earth open. All right, and here's New Mexico. All right, we're looking down on New Mexico, and we'll zoom it in. Here's the county line in question, the stair step action. Here's the dark splotch, and it's before that, so it's right here. Okay, it's coming from right here. Now, what's this black thing here? This is a giant lavic field, the Carrizozo lavic field, and it's a relatively new lavic area. So in the past 1,000 years, this has been set off by a series of volcanoes.
All right, though, so they call this field, I believe it's basaltic lava, and the kind of lava flow that it was not explosive. It just kind of slowly came out, and I think they say it came out of one volcanic and slowly kind of spread out, and it could have gone on for decades, this eruption, which maybe you could think of as Hawaii having the same kind of eruptions that are not necessarily explosive, but the lava comes out and just kind of pours over the land. But this is one of the largest lava flows in the world from one end to the other. It's very, very long. And there's two, and it looks almost like a mustache, where the middle it's thinner, and the two ends are bigger, a little more bulbous. And if you've never been by there, it's beautiful. I always wanted to stop and walk around. All right, so here is the, and I'm trying to remember, hold on a second. just have to remember what page I'm on here, but this is a PDF called Geology of Organ Mountains and Southern San Andreas Mountains, New Mexico. And it is put out by, let's see here, New Mexico Bureau of Mines and Mineral Resources, Geology of Organ Mountains and Southern San Andreas Mountains, San Andreas Mountains, New Mexico, by William R. Seeger. And it's very interesting, and it's got a lot of technical language in there. But here, let me just kind of read the beginning of this. Middle tertiary silic magmatism and volcanic tectonics. In other words, in this area, the volcanic origins of these mountains. From a geologic viewpoint, the Organ Mountains are probably best known for the Organ batholith, one of the largest granite bodies of tertiary age exposed in New Mexico. I think that's that. The sugar loaf, I believe. But anyway, it might be. Here's the shallowly eroded batholith forms the fluted serrated backbone of the range, as well as. So anyway, this is a little bit hard to comprehend. But here, northerly trending and outcrop geologic map, sheet one, the batholith has steep discordant sides, but a semi-concordant roof composed largely of thick volcanic rocks. Mostly ash flow tuff. So the volcano explodes and the ash comes out, and then it kind of settles down and gets compressed, and then it eventually turns into a rock. So when you go up to Dripping Springs, you know, when you get up there and you look on the left, you have the little area that you can drive before you get to the main building, and there's a little loop. You go down there and you can camp have picnics and stuff, and it overlooks the little creek bed that's usually dry. Well, on the other side is a rock formation. That's this area. This is what we're talking about. It's a tuff, and it is volcanic. Even though it may not look volcanic, they say the origin of it is volcanic. So from what I understand, and call up if this is a mistake, but from what I understand, part of the Organ Mountains is are volcanic cones, and the other part is plutons, which are material is melted underneath the earth and then pushed up by the heat and the force of the volcanic air. Things going on underneath. So this whole Organ Mountain rock is either directly or indirectly created by volcanic activity. So we live in a volcanic area, and there's volcanic stuff all around us. And we have a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is David. I called Monday about the tectonic plates moving in the Pacific.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll tell you about New Mexico.
Go ahead.
Okay. New Mexico is one of the most volcanic spots on Earth. We all know this, all right?
Yeah.
What a lot of people aren't pointing out is Yellowstone National Park is a major hotspot. Tone, New Mexico is another major hotspot. And another one is Little Rock, Arkansas. The earthquakes happening in Oklahoma, Panhandle, you can put a finger on the map, Tone, New Mexico, follow it down Cimarron Canyon, follow it down Canada Canyon. Both of them run exactly straight to Little Rock, Arkansas, to Raton. Now we have two major hotspots speaking to each other in the continental North American continent. Now, what was happening on Monday was two tectonic plates moving. The Coco Plate, on the Galapagos Islands, Ecuador, and the other one is the Philippine plate,
okay,
which Japan
okay.
is the top
David,
of.
David, we're running out of time, so get down to the heart of it.
Donyan County. Okay, Donyan County, A Mountain, is a major hot geothermal spot right now. It has four wells working the UN, or the college's hot, heating up their university.
So
the other end of that.
So we're over a bed of there's magma underneath us at some point.
Yes, if you went to I-70 Walmart and walked up on the hills to the east, you're going to see all kind of river rock. The river has slowly been pushed down through the valley. The other end of A Mountain Hotspot is Elephant Butte. there's more hot springs there. Now, if you were to look at this whole valley, it is a huge pressure dome sitting here.
And there's a caldera that I was looking at the map. The caldera, where does that start? Because it's between here and El Paso.
Not familiar with that one, but
okay.
I'm going to take you over now to Carrizozo.
Well, let's
go like two.
We're running
two
out of time. David,
yeah.
you called late to give us a lecture, so just boil it down to the most important parts.
We're on a geothermal hotspot. What's happening in Lordsburg is Continental Divide, and all the way up to Blue Water is a geothermal spot, and it is the mountain is moving in toward us. What's happening in California is going to start happening here.
All right, so
we are not safe.
David, let me ask you, how dangerous, in your opinion, are things in this area right now?
I'm looking at Picacho Mountain. Picacho Mountain to start acting up in the very near future with what's happening in off the coast of California and what's happening in down in, and it's all connected.
Okay.
It's, the whole ring of fire is lit up.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Can you call in on this tomorrow?
Have a good day.
Thanks. I'll take that as a yes. Here's your volcanic sequence of the Oregons, an impressive pile of rhyolitic ash flow tufts. In other words, rocks that are made out of original ash flow and rhyolite lava flows compositionally zoned as a unit and approximately 10,000 feet thick forms much of the southern Oregon Mountains. So the Oregon Mountains in the south, mostly ash turned to stone. And these rocks uncomfortably overlie the Orejon andesite that predates them. And the whole volcanic section, together with thin strips of Paleozoic rock, formed an insulating blanket below these batholitic strips. Anyway, there's no doubt. All right, so here is, here's from Mount Vesuvius. Mount Vesuvius erupted and took out Herculaneum and Pompeii. Check this out a little bit. The Vesuvius Deadly Fury.
In 79 AD, Vesuvius suddenly explodes for the first time in over 1,000 years.
This is Kelly, just hold on. This is Kelly, just hold on.
The eruption wipes out half a dozen towns and cities, among them Pompeii and the aristocratic seaside hamlet of Herculaneum. Situated in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, 12 miles southeast of Naples, Vesuvius wasn't considered a volcano at the time.
All right, we do have another call. I want to get as many calls as possible. Thanks for the call. Who's this? Folks, look, I've said this 10,000 times. If you call in and I'm playing a clip, I cannot hear you. You can't hear me. Be patient and I'll get you on the air. All right, here's a little more from the Vesuvius eruption.
Here, in a period fresco, it's depicted as an ordinary mountain. Pliny the Younger, the only eyewitness on record, writes, "A cloud was rising from a mountain which I could not pinpoint. No tree better than the pine describes the shape of the cloud. A long trunk widened out to a vast umbrella, at times white as snow, at others dirty and stained, depending on whether it carried ash or soil. Downwind of Vesuvius is Pompeii. Located 7 miles southeast of the volcano, it's the first to be hit by the terrifying cloud of ash dome.
We're about 5 or 10 miles away from the Oregons if they erupted.
Four miles west, Herculaneum is spared the initial onslaught. But within hours, both cities will vanish from the face of the earth. Even now, Vesuvius is considered one of the world's most dangerous volcanoes. For this reason, it's kept under constant surveillance by the Vesuvius Observatory in collaboration with a team of international volcanologists.
All right. So this is what happened to Pompeii and they went down and they dug the city out and found all of this, all these dead bodies. Well, they were long ago dead. They had turned into whatever, you know, this. They filled up their places where they were in the ash with the plaster and were able to find out their final position. Here's a little bit more from this Caleres PBS special on the volcano, on the eruption.
This will happen again, perhaps not at the Valles, but at some other volcano here in the West. And when it does, it will truly know it.
Sorry about that. That's your Blog Talk Radio. You can go and pick up this broadcast. Thanks for listening in. I squeezed in everything I could possibly do. So just to give you a brief outline of the what's going on around the world, the Ring of Fire springing to life, and now we live in one of the most, if not the most volcanic states in the United States. And not too long ago, it was going off, and even David said the Picachos could be erupting again, let alone the Organs. Thanks for listening in. Have a great day, Kelly O'Connell. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. We can talk about this again a little bit if you like. Have a great day. AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Ciao.